With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Franny Benali.
This is Klaus Lundekvam.
I'm Matt Letitia.
Dean Hammond here.
And you're listening to In That Number.
Here is Letitia in the standing. There's the reply. Barry at the heart. History made.
It's James Beattie. Oh, belter.
Barry for the hat trick.
Crash lifts it and he's got it in as well! And Danny Ings has done it again!
Thanks for checking out In That Number with me, Kevin, the Moscow Mush Middleton, and Ray Hunt. Find me on Twitter at Moscow Mush and my co-host Ray Hunt at RayHunt84. Follow the show at Number Podcasts on Twitter, In That Number Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. If you've got any questions for the show, if you can be bothered, send us an email to inthatnumberpodcast@gmail.com. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever it is you get your podcasts. Share, subscribe, and give us good vibes. Let's go.
Welcome back to another episode of In That Number. Proud to be a part of the Sports Social Network. This is episode 193, the end of season awards, the shitners, if you will. Today, we have to give those annual shitners, where you guys have voted for the player of the season, the goal of the season, the match, the fuck up, and the wanker. We also have the small matter of awarding the player and goal of the month for May, so we'll tie that up also. But yeah, we say goodbye to the season and we look back through the highs and the lows, if there were any highs, I don't know. Before we usher in the new era. Joining me to go through everything is the Moscow Mush, Kevin Milverton. Say hello, Mush.
Hello, Mush.
How are you?
I'm okay. At least the weather's nice.
Well, you say nice, but I'm not a summer person.
You know, I mean, this kind of temperature with the sun shining, is it not?
Bit warm.
A bit better.
Bit warm. I mean, I put my shorts on for the first time yesterday, and I got a bit...
So did I. Oh, right, I didn't get that.
So, yeah, I've got bites all on my legs, so I'm not happy. You don't get
what
that.
What are they, mozzies?
I don't know what they are. Someone at work said it looks like a spider bite, to be honest. So maybe I'm going to turn into Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, wow.
Yeah. Anyway, a reminder, if you're enjoying the show, then please consider showing your support by visiting buymeacoffee.com/inthatnumber. Any donation, anything, it would be really, really well appreciated. Kev, let's kick things off with some ITN news, shall we?
Yes, let's do that.
This is ITN In That Number News.
Okay, first things first. We will award the Golden Player of the Month for May. Like you really care now, but yeah, the player, we gave you the usual four options. So you had James Ward-Prowse, Kamaldeen Sulemana, Charlie Alcaraz and Theo Walcott. How do you think it went, Kevin?
Sulemana or Walcott?
Okay, so Walcott was last with 11%. Ward-Prowse was third with 25%. Actually, he was second because there was a tie for first. So because there's a tie, Kev, Sulemana and Alcaraz both got 32% of the votes. I'm going to let you decide. So who's going to get it, Sulemana or Alcaraz?
I'm going to give it to Sulemana just for that most recent showing, bit of recency bias kicking in.
Good, because I don't think we've awarded him the Player of the Month yet. So I would have done the same thing if it had been up to me. But yeah, so yeah, there you are. Sulemana wins May Player of the Month. The goal was a little bit more difficult to narrow this down because we scored 8 goals. But we did narrow them down to the usual 4. We had the Lianco header against Forest, both of Sulemana's goals against Liverpool, and that Adam Armstrong goal against Liverpool also. How do you think this one went, Kev?
I'm going to say Sulemana again, the second one.
Yeah, you are correct. He won it by a long way with 77%, that incredible run from his own half. Yeah, it was a clear decision. But poor Adam Armstrong. I thought that run and that left foot shot.
Yeah,
it was, but 4% of the votes. Sulemana's first got 9% and Lianco's header 10%. But yeah, 77% for Sulemana's solo effort. Double for Sulemana then. So news then. Bazunu, he was nominated for the Premier League Save of the Season. That was at Anfield in November. And that was Nathan Jones's first game in charge, wasn't it?
That's right.
But he didn't win the award anyway. It went to Kepa. Because Premier League gave out their awards yesterday, I believe. So, yeah, more news on Russell Martin. You probably know that the deal is being held up by it's compensation expected to be resolved. But the issue is that he had two price tags, one for him leaving to a Premier League team, the other to a Championships, seeing as we were in limbo when the deal was agreed. So I think if he was going to a Premier League team, then it was 2 million. And if it's a Championship team, then it's 1.25. I think Saints have been disputing that compensation. It seems a bit trivial at this stage, doesn't it? Considering how much they paid for Nathan Jones.
Oh, God, yeah, and that was probably still paying Ralph as well.
Jake Hesketh, Kevin. On the
yes, this is a surprise.
Yeah, he's going to Scholing.
Yeah, amazingly.
He's fallen out of love with the game, apparently. But he was at Eastleigh last season, and then he's signed for Scholing. So, yeah, just up the road. So that'd be nice for him, and hopefully he can, you know, kickstart his career again.
Maybe Dave Dyke can make him fall back in love with football again.
Yeah. And we've had two new recruits. They've signed up for the cause. We've got Darren Mowbray as the head of recruitment. And I don't want to say it. It's Mark Bitcoin.
Bitcoin.
Yeah, I knew you were going to do that.
We're going to call him Bitcoin.
Bitcoin. Mark Bitcoin, okay. Director of Performance. And another departure, a goalkeeping coach, Andrew Sparks, has left. He was here for 4 years. But, you know, with Russell Martin expecting to come in and bring his own staff, I think, you know, he had to go, really. And on the topic of goalkeepers, Kevin, that the club, apparently, they're working on a new one-year extension for 41-year-old Willie Caballero. Does that surprise you? Because it certainly did me.
Another Willie extension. Why not, I suppose, if he's willing to play in the Championship. Yeah, I'd play him more often then.
Well, I mean, even if you don't play him, it's always nice to have him around, isn't it? Say we just lost a goalkeeping coach. Technically, he could be one as well as, you know, getting on the field occasionally.
Yeah, that could be an option. Yeah, so. Andrew Sparks. Like, I'm surprised that he hadn't left earlier because he's one of the names that we hear repeated. And, wasn't he on set piece duty as well?
He was at one point, yeah.
Yeah.
The 4 set beach coaches that we had this year. Yeah, our goalkeeping coach was one of them.
And our set piece work is about as good as our goalkeeping. So
yeah, thank you, but goodbye. Not really done a lot of good things. Well, especially it's not been seen enough, has it, really? All the good things that he's done has probably been outweighed by the bad that the club have done. So transfer news. I'm not ready to start up the transfer roundabout just yet, but I have heard a rumour that Juventus are interested in Sulemana. Are we just going to say, like, hands off now? Because we know kind of what we're getting with him.
Oh, God, I don't know. It depends what, how much money it is, doesn't it?
And also depends on whether he wants to. I mean, I don't see why you wouldn't, really. I mean, you got a chance to go and play for Juventus or play in the Championship.
Bit of a no-brainer. But it's all about the money.
It is. It's all about the money. James Ward-Prowse suitors, have you heard any... Well, you hear things a lot. I mean, we've been hearing it all season. I mean, you're still probably on the Liverpool bandwagon there, aren't you, thinking he's going to go there? But the last I heard, they weren't even in the picture because they were interested in Romeo Lavia. So I think they're going to try and pry him away from Man City. But James Ward-Prowse, I think the favourites are Spurs, with West Ham, Newcastle and Aston Villa. Oh, and Wolves as well. Wolves are throwing their hat in. So can you see him going to any of those?
Yeah, I could see him going to any of those clubs, to be honest. I mean, Wolves is a bit of a strange one, but other teams offer European football. So, yeah.
Yeah, Aston Villa. I mean, West Ham, I mean, he wouldn't have to move that far away, would he? If he stays down south and moves to London.
Yeah, everyone seems to be saying that if West Ham get rid of Rice, they'll replace him with Prowse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Rice out and James Ward-Prowse in. But again, depends on the money, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'd be back alongside Højbjerg at Spurs.
There's a thought. I didn't think about that. But yeah, it could happen. I mean, I could see any of those more so than Liverpool, especially if they're now interested in Lavia. But yeah, there we go. Do you have any news?
Spurs are also interested in Thierry Small, apparently.
Yeah, I want to keep hold of him.
Mm. Yeah.
We don't quite know what we've got with him yet, do we?
I think we need to cut back on the first team squad and keep hold of the youth as much as we can.
Oh, the youth that did so well.
Yeah, precisely.
Right, we'll move on then to the season that was then. It was a difficult season for everyone involved, wasn't it? But, you know, I've been looking back at the end of the 21-22 season and, you know, because then we started to see the wheels were coming off then, really, didn't we? And I think something that isn't mentioned enough, I feel, is how we ended that campaign under Ralph. And for all those people, I guess you're included in this, Kevin, that think Ralph should have remained. You know, the problems go back longer than the relegation that we've just had, because we lost... Towards the end of that season, we lost 4-0 to Villa, 2-1 to Newcastle, 2-1 to Watford, 6-0 to Chelsea, 2-0 to Burnley, 2-1 to Palace, 3-0 to Brentford, 2-1 to Liverpool, and then finally ended up with a 4-1 loss to Leicester. You know, and in those final 12 games, we lost 9 of them, and 2 of those ended up being relegated, and we conceded 30 goals and finished 15th. So, if that season, you know, would have stretched out for a few more games, then I think we could have been relegated then. That's probably why I felt with the start of the season that we had as well that Ralph had to go then, because it wasn't just this season; it's been going on a while now.
Yeah, but we'll never know if he would have turned it around or not.
You still think he should have? I don't know. Looking back at it, I just think maybe it was the right time in the summer to let him go and then get somebody else in. At the start of the season, rather than, you know, just throw it all in the middle of the season with an inexperienced manager.
So do you think if we had Nathan Jones for the whole of this season, we'd have done any better?
Oh, God, no. I also think that if we had had more time in the summer to appoint somebody, then maybe they would have done. I don't know if Nathan Jones was on the agenda in the summer, because, you know, the start of the season that Luton had, well, I mean, they ended the season, they're Premier League now, so Nathan Jones, sort of his stock rise, didn't it, because of his work with Luton. I don't know, I'd like to think that they would have taken their time a little bit more at the end of May, and yeah, just maybe offered somebody up. Maybe they could have got Sean Dyche or someone like that, or even Sam Allardyce or something like that in that could have had a chance to keep a team in the Premier League. But you know, Sport Republic were probably a little bit naive and thinking that we were at odds on to stay up and kept with Ralph.
Yeah, and it's too many risks as well. I mean, that I think whoever was manager would have been screwed over by the transfer policy of just trying to play that same game, putting all your eggs in the basket of young, unproven players and trying to mould them into Premiership talents all at the same time. I think, we've had, I say one too many, probably about 10 too many players. I'll just repeat what I've been repeating all season. If we'd have bought one player for the price of the three players that we bought in each position, we'd still be in the Premier League.
Quite possibly.
Fine with experience.
Yeah, and it's why that transfer window in the summer was so important. And it was underwhelming because Ralph wasn't helped. I mean, the players we signed in that window were Bazunu, Liss, who went out on loan, Bella Kotchap, Lavia, Aribo, Mara, Chaletasar, Adozi, and Larios. That was our summer business. Most of which have been complete flops, injury prone, or just not what we needed to mount a challenge, I guess. And the only exception there is probably Lavia. Okay, Bella Kotchap, yeah, he's been decent, but he's had a lot of injuries this season. And you just said, you know, how much that window... How much do you think it was on Ralph? Do you think he had any say in that window whatsoever?
Yeah, he must have had quite a sizable say. I don't know whether it's his mistake, the board's mistake, or both, overlooking the fact that we needed to replace Danny Ings for, the second season in a row now.
That goes a long way to our downfall. We don't have a natural goal scorer, and then, you know, you bring in all these youth and you end up finishing bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you look at the start of this season and how we started under Ralph, things weren't improving. And it has been said that Sport Republic did want to get Ralph out in the summer, but it was only thanks to Martin Semmons that he remained. But, I mean, I stand by my original thoughts that Ralph, he should have gone. But the problem for me was the appointment of Nathan Jones in November. That's what did it for me. I think that's the main reason that we went down. Ralph was dealt a crap hand with a transfer window, and Nathan Jones didn't press on from that.
Yeah, that transfer window, I remember at the time that you were a bit more pleased with it than I was, and most of the fans were quite satisfied that we've got all these exciting new players.
Yeah, I think if we had the same team as we had last year, with no signings and no one going out, then it's a Premier League team, so you don't need to change too much to be able to survive. But the fact that they did, and they brought in all those players at once, I just thought, okay, it's not a great window, but it's not going to be a relegation team.
Mm.
Clearly wrong, because they were. And the start of the season, though, I mean, August, we lost 4-1 to Spurs at the start, and then we drew 2-2 with Leeds. If you remember, we were 2-0 down to Leeds and ended up coming back to draw 2-2. That was the first home game. And then we went and beat Leicester. Beat Cambridge in the Cup 3-0, lost 1-0 to Man United, and then we went and beat Chelsea at home. So, yeah, after that start at Tottenham, the opening month wasn't actually that bad. The comeback from 2-0 down, as I said, to grab a point. Wins against Leicester, massive win at home against Chelsea, which is what proved 50% of our home wins this season. Progression in the Carabao Cup. And a debut goal from Dom Ballard. And actually, at the end of that month, Kev, we were seventh.
Yeah, wow.
And we were complaining at the time, thinking, yeah, we're not actually where we want to be. But you look at it like that, it's kind of like the same thing that we had under Claude Puel. It was decent, but when you look back at it, you just think, my God, maybe we could have kept him a little bit longer. Six games in August, we won 3, lost 2, and we drew 1. Scored 10 goals and conceded 9. So, yeah, we're still on plus goal difference and picked up 3 wins, including that cup game. So not a bad month.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I must have been satisfied at the time.
I think we were, quietly, yeah. And then September rolled by and we only had 2 games in September. And both of those 1-0 losses, both narrow losses. But, you know, that was the ugly Wolves goal, that wrong footed Bazunu. So we lost 1-0 at Wolves and 1-0 at Villa. Close ones, but yeah, 2 games, no wins, 2 losses, no goals scored, and we conceded 2. So there, September, it started to get a little bit, even though you knew you had time, it wasn't looking that great at the end of September.
Yeah, when we're relying on the ladies in the B team for goals for candidates for the goal of the month.
You know it's bad when that happens, yeah.
Yeah, even if we did only have 2 games.
And then October, I mean, that was when the wheels started to fall off, wasn't it? Because we had 1 win from 6, and Ralph was feeling the pressure at that point. And that win at Bournemouth was huge because we moved up to 14th after that win. We moved out of the relegation zone. Decent result at home to Arsenal. They were riding high. They were, you know, challenging for the top at that point. And, you know, they dropped points for only the second time of the season to us, so... But then, it, you know, you look at the ones that we probably should have won, losing to Palace, and the pressure was right back on Ralph again. Because what did we have? We had, yeah, 6 games, 1 win, 3 losses, and 2 draws. Yeah, you could sense that something was going. Because, I mean, you lose 2-1 at home to Everton because they weren't doing very well at that point. You lose 4-0 to Man City, and you think, okay, it's Man City. West Ham away 1-1. Okay, that's fine. Never do that well at West Ham. Win at Bournemouth and then get a draw against Arsenal. And you think, okay, we're okay. We're not doing too bad. But then you end the month losing at Palace, and it's just up and down a bit.
I don't know. Still, the league position was fine.
Well, I mean, yeah, 14th after that Bournemouth win. And then you pick up a point at Arsenal, and then you lose to Palace, right on the periphery of the relegation zone.
I don't know where I feel it started to collapse. I think it was maybe a little bit later, October, November.
Well, I think, you know, with November came, you had 3 games, 2 in the league and 1 in the Carabao Cup. But, you know, you got crushed by Newcastle 4-1 at home. And that was too much then. And Ralph was shown the door. That was 3 years and 11 months in charge. But, you know, 12 points from 14 games, it just wasn't good enough. And if you remember, Ruben Saez came in for that Sheffield Wednesday game, and we got the win on penalties in the cup after a 1-1 draw. And then, yeah, the appointment of Nathan Jones, and then he took over for just that one game at Liverpool at Anfield. And that was kind of like a free hit, wasn't it? Because we had the break for the World Cup at that point, and you thought, okay, Nathan Jones has got some work to do, but he's got time to sort it out at that point. But, I mean, I'm trying to cast my mind back to how we felt. I mean, I know how you felt when Ralph went. We're all sad about it. But when Nathan Jones came in, we weren't underwhelmed. Well, I suppose we were a little bit underwhelmed with it, but not as bad as... We didn't realise that things were going to get as bad as they eventually did.
Yeah, I think we understood it's a bit of a gamble taking a manager without Premier League experience here to place our trust in the board. In Rasmus and Kine.
Yeah, how foolish
it was
that?
Misplaced.
Yeah, it was. And as I say, December, we had the World Cup. The league didn't restart until Boxing Day, but we did have that 2-1 win over Lincoln in the Carabao Cup. But then the Brighton loss
that
on Boxing
was dreadful.
Day. Yeah, because you were here for that, weren't you? And I think that was probably the point where I realised this was going to get worse and we were going to be fighting for survival. And yes, we lost to Fulham, and that was a death. We let a second goal in the 88th minute, I believe. But we never looked close to taking the points there, to be honest. And then we ended December at the bottom of the table. So, you know, the 3 games in December, including the cup, 1 win, 2 losses. Not good enough. We only scored 4 goals and we conceded 6. So, yeah, I think it was December time when I thought, either we're going to get relegated or we're going to be, you know, like the 90s and being for a scrap and probably survive at the end of the season.
Not the greatest game.
Yeah.
Yeah, not to be.
No, it wasn't. And because of the World Cup, we had so many games to catch up with in January, and we had 8 games in January. But OK, we had the Carabao Cup and the FA Cup coming in, and we had a 2-legged semi-final, of course, and we had 2 FA Cup wins in January, and we beat Palace, we beat Blackpool. But while the cup form was good, it was kind of like last season as well. The cup form took us and carried us for that season a little bit, but it started to feel like that again. But the league form was where it really mattered. And then when you started the month losing to Forest at home, my goodness, that was dreadful. You lose 1-0 at home to Nottingham Forest. It was a terrible game. And we went on to lose to Villa, to Newcastle. And it didn't take long to realise then that Nathan Jones was clearly out of his depth.
So from those weirder and weirder press conferences.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't a great time, was it, January? It was just...
No, I think if you ask any fan for the low point, I think a lot of them would give that Nottingham Forest game at home. Just both teams absolutely dreadful. Still lost 1-0.
Yeah, yeah. The one shot on target for the whole game from both teams, and that was the goal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, shocking, really. Oh. 8 games in January, 4 wins, and 3 of those were in the cup, 4 losses. And, yeah, 9 goals we scored, and we only conceded 8. So on the plus on goal difference, but again, it was just all about the cup in that month, wasn't it?
Nathan Jones, the only thing that still stands between Pep Guardiola and a quadruple.
Yeah, or a domestic treble, yeah. Yeah, but I mean, there was one good thing to come out of January. One thing that I do think has slid away a little bit was that win at Goodison Park, where, you know, we haven't won since October 1997. So that was put to rest. And of course, Everton was struggling down there with us as well. And we were 1-0 down in that game, and James Ward-Prowse to the rescue with a double and a fantastic free kick. So that was absolutely amazing after that Everton one. And don't forget, that was coming off the back of the Palace win in the cup and the Man City win in the cup as well. So the three wins in a row, and that's what probably kept Nathan Jones in the job a little bit longer than he should have been.
Yeah, and we had that fans forum as well, didn't we, where Rasmus was defending Nathan Jones.
Well, yeah, he had to, because he wouldn't admit that he made a mistake in hiring him, but yeah.
Well, not whilst he's still in the job, yeah.
Well, exactly, and it didn't take long, did it, for him to realise, shit, we need to do something here, and that came in February, where, you know, you lose at Brentford, you lose 3-0 at Brentford, fans are on his back again, and then the Wolves game happened. You're 1-0 up, and Mario Lemina's off, and you think, right, not even Nathan Jones can screw this up, and then you go and lose the game 2-1. And, yeah, that was a real blow. And that was the final one for Nathan Jones, because then Ruben Sayers stepped in. But he started with a bang, if you remember, because we won 1-0 at Stamford Bridge.
Yep.
And we all thought, yeah, Ruben Sayers is the answer. But, you know, three losses again in the league, and Leeds at Elland Road. Again, another team that was struggling. Lose 1-0 to them. So we lost 3-0 to Brentford, 2-1 to Wolves. Went to Stamford Bridge and amazingly won 1-0. And then lose 1-0 to Leeds. It's not good. Four games, one win, three losses again. And only two goals scored in that month as well, February. So really, really in it now.
Yeah. And we were saying that it was a mistake to sign Sayers till the end of the season so early after just that one result against Chelsea.
Yeah, the Solskjaer effect. Yeah, and again, once he had that win, it just all went downhill for him because, of course, everyone remembers what happened at the start of March, the FA Cup fifth round. Grimsby Town come to St Mary's and they go and get the win. Awful, awful night. It's at this point when you're starting to look at the fixtures and thinking, right, we need to beat them, and Leicester at home was a must. Again, it was another poor game, but we got the win. And that was what, the 4th of March, we beat Leicester, and that was our last win. Absolutely horrible. But then, you know, you beat Leicester. You go to Old Trafford and you get a point and a clean sheet. And then you get owned by Brentford at home. But then that Spurs game happened at the end of the month as well, that 3-3. And you thought, maybe we've got something. But you can't lose in the cup to Grimsby. That was just embarrassing.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe is that a low point, or is the Forest game worse? I'd argue the Forest game's probably worse.
Probably. But there's so many low points, isn't there? And at what point, Kev, did you think that Sayers is well, he's crap?
Fairly early on, I'd say.
Before that before the Grimsby game, I imagine.
Yeah, after that, you think, well, there's nobody that can help us.
It's too late at that point. You're in a relegation scrap, and then, you know, April was just as bad as it gets, really, because four losses from six games, it just sealed our doom then, really, didn't it? And the only point was actually at the Emirates, but that was from leading 2-0 and 3-1. And we conceded late goals from Odegaard and Saka, which left a dent in their title race, but it did nothing for us.
I think we would have needed wins straight on from there on in.
Yeah, and then, yeah, well, that was it. And we had the Bournemouth game at home. Now, that was, for me, that was when I thought, yeah, that's it, we're relegated. Because you were here for that as well.
Yeah, I think we were already relegated before that Bournemouth game, to be honest.
Possibly, but if we had beaten Bournemouth, then it would have been game on, I feel. And lose them, and that's it. You know, all hope was gone. I lost hope then. And we needed them to step up at that point. Because, you know, you've got Newcastle at St James's coming up straight after that. You know you needed to step up and beat Bournemouth at home. And another 1-0 loss, for me, that just tipped it for me. Six games, no wins and five losses, and that one draw at the Emirates.
Yeah, I mean, we're only only not mathematically relegated by the end of that month.
That's true, but I mean, I was on a Nottingham Forest podcast just because we had Forest the first game of May, and I said to them that this is it, we're down. And I said, this is all about you, and if you can beat us, you'll be safe, which is pretty much what happened.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really matter for us now, although after that Forest game, it was a thrilling 4-3 loss, but we still weren't mathematically down at that point. It was only the Fulham game that did it for us, and that was the home game, which we ended up losing, of course, and that sealed it. That was confirmed then, officially relegated after Fulham. But it's, as you said, we already accepted it. 4-3 was enough to Forest, and after that, it was just let's play out the season. And but it wasn't that bad to end the season, really, because we had our trip to Brighton, which we were just having a relegation party, really, and then of course we drew 4-4 against Liverpool.
That's probably the most positive time of the season is when we were already relegated.
That is exactly what you said, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, the irony of it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did predict it once. I mean, it's fairly obvious. Like, once the pressure's off, then the shackles come off and they can just do what they want.
And so it just goes to show that they were playing with pressure all season then.
Yeah, yeah, just not on the opposition.
So that was it. That was the season in a nutshell. We finished 20th, just 6 wins, 7 draws and 25 losses for 25 points. That doesn't seem right, does it, when you look at that? When you look at the table and you think 25 losses.
It's a lot.
And we only scored 36 goals as well. Nowhere near enough. And we conceded 73. And I remember at the start of the season, we did our predictions. And last season, we conceded 67 goals. And we said over or under on the goals conceded. And we all said under, definitely under. But as it turns out, 73 was over. Quite a long way over.
Yeah, I think we haven't really talked much about Bazunu and how he's just not a Premier League goalkeeper at the moment.
No, and I do feel sorry for him because I really wanted him to do well. But he was playing in League One last season and he's 20 years old and he comes straight into a team that can't defend and he's going to concede a lot of shots. It was just he was set up to fail, wasn't he? But like you just said then, yeah, he's not a Premier League goalkeeper, not yet.
Yeah, and you need someone who can direct the back line, and yeah, he's too young to be a leader in that role.
We had Forster, which we let him go. So there's a few factors in this season. It was just all bad news, wasn't it? The transfer strategy, the management merry-go-round, the putting the faith in the youngsters, putting the faith in the goalkeeper,
team selections in general,
that comes under management. And then you've got people like Oriol Romeu leaving, not being replaced, although you know he was replaced with Lavia and he was arguably our best player this season. So but then it's just the leadership of all the experience of Romeu there that we desperately missed. And I've heard people saying that if Romeu had stayed, then probably we would have stayed up. I don't know, because we still haven't scored enough goals and we still conceded far too many.
Yeah, I mean, it does bring a kind of aggression that was definitely lacking in the squad this season.
Yeah, I mean, you look back at it all like that and it just seems, was there anything that went right for us? Is there one positive spin, one high from the season that you can think of?
Tino's back.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Yeah, and Alcaraz, second half of the season was excellent. James Ward-Prowse was just ever ready and ever present again, as always. But yeah, it was individual games, but just not enough of them. And those moments where we needed goals, and Che was a bit goal shy.
Yeah, well, all of our strikers were goal shy.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of goals, who got the most goals this season, Kev?
Prowsey again
with 11 and Che Adams with 10, but then Roman Perro with 4. Now, in the predictions that we did at the start, we were saying who's going to be the top scorer. You guys all said James Ward-Prowse, which you were bang on there. I won't say who I said because it's laughable. But
you said Adam Armstrong.
I did say Adam Armstrong. Maybe it was more hope than anything. But yeah, Roman Perro, the third highest scorer for us, who's been injured for a lot of the season, is terrible. But I remember you said something then. You said that we spread our goals out a lot, so it's not going to be by a massive amount. And you were spot on with that too, because Perro and Alcaraz had 4, Adam Armstrong got 3. Stuart Armstrong got 2. Aribo 2. Chalet Sarr with 2. Sulemana got 2. Of course, that was in that one game. Walcott also with 2. And then there's a whole heap of players that just got 1. So you've got Kai Walker-Peters, Elianusi, Lavia, Lianco, Gineppo and Ballard. And that was it for us. That was it for the season. There's not enough players that are scoring like 7 or 8 goals consistently. It's just, you know, you go from 11 to 4. It's not enough. And the assists as well. Who had the most assists, Kev?
Well, Prasic and
Prasic with 5. Not an awful lot. And then you look at Adams with 3, Mara with 3. Perro again pops up there with 2. Alcaraz 2, Walcott 2. But yeah, it's sorry, isn't it? It's a relegation. There's relegation stats when you look at them. It's just not enough. Who had the most shots?
Can I go Adams with this one?
It was Adams. 62. 62 shots he took. And he only scored 10 of them. Who had the most blocks?
I'm trying to think. Who's been our most regular centre-back? Belakovchap?
No. It was Salisu.
Salisu. Okay. Yeah. And he wasn't playing the end towards the end of the season.
No. No, it's sad, isn't it? Most tackles? This one might surprise you a little bit because it certainly did me.
Lavia?
No. No, it was Roman Perro again. But, well, Perro had 28 and also Ainsley Maitland-Niles had 28 as well. Mm. That was a shock. That really did shock me. Cards. Who got the most yellow cards?
Lianco.
No, it was Lavia with 10. 10 yellow cards. And we only had one red card and that was Chalet Sarr. So, yeah, some sorry stats there. Not good reading. Right, okay, so we have the awards to give out now. Are you excited about this, Kev, or are you just like, let's just get over
it? I don't know. It's difficult to get excited about anything this season, isn't it?
I don't even know if they're having a players one. Are they having an awards evening? Are they going to celebrate? How can you celebrate a relegation? I don't know. So anyway, we have to award the shitners. Tongue-in-cheek awards, okay, so don't get too offended. But player. So the player of the year, we all took our votes, me, you and Tim, and we came up with the 4 candidates. So we gave you in shirt order, James Ward-Prowse, Charlie Alcaraz, Theo Walcott and Romeo Lavia.
And the winner is Romeo Lavia.
Yay! Lavia, winner. Yeah, James Ward-Prowse, runner up. Charlie Alcaraz was 3rd. And poor Theo Walcott was 4th.
Bless him. I think he has had his best season.
Yeah, I think I agree with that, to be honest. And the game of the season. So again, we gave you 4. We had Saints 2-1 win over Chelsea. We had Everton, the winner Everton. As I said, the first win since October 1997. That 2-1 win coming from behind also. And then we had the 2 draws, the 3-3 against Spurs and the 4-4 against Liverpool, which was quite recently. Again, Kevin, would you like to do the honours? The winner of game of the season, open that envelope.
And the winner is beating Chelsea 2-1 at home.
Yay, I don't agree with that. Well, I don't know. I mean, we got 3 points, but I don't know. I think the Everton one, or possibly
I thought the recency bias would kick in, and the Liverpool game for pure entertainment value would be the winner.
Well, Liverpool game got runner up, and 3rd was the Everton one, and 4th was that Spurs 3-3. A lot of people saying that why did you not put the Arsenal one in there? I think, well, just simply because we threw it away, really, from 3-1 up with 2 minutes to go. That's probably why it didn't get in there.
I did nominate it, though.
Yeah, I think I did it first, but I bumped it for that Everton game because we got 3 points.
Nathan Jones' only win.
Yeah, yeah. And the goal of the season, this was really, really tough to narrow this down because we did score some bangers. So we gave you Che Adams. I'm aware that James Ward-Prowse scored 3 kicks, but for the sake of, you know, variety, we tried to mix it up a little bit. So we did have one James Ward-Prowse free kick, and that was the one against Everton, the one that turned out to be the winner. Che Adams' goal at the start of the season against Leicester, if you remember, he did a little bit of a scissor kick, which was just pure class, really. That was a fantastic goal. We had Gineppo's lob against Man City in the Cup. which was, you know, completely shocking. You look back at that game and think, wow, yeah, that was a great goal. And of course, we had the more recent Sulemana goal, which won player of the month, goal of the month in May. Open that envelope again, Kevin. And who is the goal of the season?
And the winner of goal of the season is Gineppo against Man City.
Way. Does that surprise you?
Yeah. Again, same reasons. I would have voted just for for that Sulemana goal. I thought it was incredible.
I do too. But you know, looking back at when I was trying to narrow them down, my four, I think a lot of people have forgot about that Gineppo goal. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh my God, I remember, because I did. And how can you forget about that? And then it goes on and wins it. So,
that's cheeky impressive. Chip.
Right, now we've got some negative awards, can we say? I don't know. So we've got the fuck up of the season. Now, there was quite a lot of them. So to try and narrow this down to just four was, it was difficult because we could have had the Grimsby defeat, but that didn't even make the cut. Yeah, I hear. So we gave you the transfer strategy. So both transfer windows, that was one of the reasons why we feel we got relegated. So that was nominated. Nathan Jones being appointed was another big fuck up. Sayers continuing, not replacing him with a proven manager, and the 2-1 loss to Wolves at St Mary's. What do you think the winner is here, Kev? Because all of them could probably win that.
I disagree with it, but I think appointing Nathan Jones is probably going to be the winner. Just so such a not even divisive. I think it was. Maybe devices to begin with, but slowly united the fan base against him.
That's what that would have had your vote.
It wouldn't have. I would have voted with the transfer strategy.
Okay, so who is what is the fuck up of the season, Kev?
Okay, and the fuck up of the season is appointing Nathan Jones.
Yeah, and transfer strategy second. 2-1 Wolves loss against 10 men was third, and Sayers continuing was fourth.
I don't agree with that one, but I can see why people have voted that way.
Yeah, it stings. Nathan Jones would always sting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now it'll be up there. Ali Dia in the Southampton Legends.
Yeah, okay. The last shitnut was Wanker of the season. A little bit trouble with this one because we did about putting Bednarik in there. We wanted to just basically because of what he said, not because of who he is. But when you say that you're moving to a bigger club, I genuinely thought he wasn't coming back. And I think that's what he thought. So we could have put him in, but we didn't because he's a player. He's a current player. I don't feel like it's fair to put him in. And also Ruben Sayers as well, because he's not a wanker. he's just done some pretty
nice guy.
Yeah, he's just done some pretty bad things. So we only gave you two options. Well, actually, I gave you a third, which was other. And, you know, please comment. But the two that we and Jones being the biggest wanker or Rasmus Ankersen. Tough one, Kevin.
Again, a tough one. But I think it goes along the same lines as the previous one, where you blame Nathan Jones for taking a job that he was too incompetent to perform well at or not.
But Rasmus Ankersen was the one that employed him.
Yeah, exactly.
And stood by it.
I think the fault does lie with him.
So, Kevin, open that last envelope, please. Who is the wanker of the season?
Okay, and the wanker of the season is... Nathan Jones.
Oh, nice. Lovely.
Another one for Nathan Jones. Got two shitners. He's only been here for 14 games. Well done, Nathan Jones. So that's about it for the preview. But I just want to go through, the review. I just want to go through our predictions and see how bad or good they were. So I've listened back to our preview show. We had Jacob Tanswell on to preview the season. And it was interesting because we were all so hopeful. I say hopeful. It was just... Even on the individual ones, like who's going to score the most goals, who's going to, you know, how many goals are we going to concede in general? We're all pretty upbeat about it, including me. But we started with where are Saints going to finish in the table? And of course, we finished 20th, as we all know. But Jacob Tanswell said 15th. I went 16th. Kevin, you went 17th. So we're just getting lower. And Tim went 19th, so he was the only one to say that we would get relegated. So I think Tim wins that.
Okay, Tim won.
Top scorer. This is where it's bad because, Jacob, Tanswell, you and Tim all went James Ward-Prowse correctly, by the way. And I went stupidly Adam Armstrong. What was I thinking?
I don't know. You're thinking that this was going to be his season.
Yeah, I thought it was his time to shine. I really believed that he was going to do something, but alas. So, points all round apart from me.
So, for me and Tim, yeah?
Yeah, you, Tim, and Jacob will get a point. So that means Tim's on 2, you're on 1, Jacob's on 1, and I'm on 0. How do you want to do this? Do you want to give a point for someone on the top 4, a point for each one that made it?
Yeah, go on.
Okay, so top 4. Jacob went Man City champions, Liverpool 2nd, Spurs 3rd, and Chelsea 4th. So only one point there for Jacob. I went Liverpool 1st. City 2nd, Chelsea 3rd, and Man United 4th. I got 2 of those right, just not in the right order. And Kev, you were very, very similar because you went Liverpool, City, Chelsea, the same as me. But instead of taking Man United, you took Arsenal. The only one to take Arsenal in that top 4, which was quite surprising. Although I haven't said that, they did have an amazing season. And I think they went above and beyond, didn't they? I didn't really think they were going to be challenging Man City as long as they did. Tim went City champions, Liverpool, Spurs and United.
So you also got 2.
Relegation. Who's going to get relegated? So Jacob said Fulham, Leeds and Bournemouth.
Just the one then.
I said Forest, Bournemouth and Leeds.
Also one.
You, Kevin, do you remember what you said?
Oh, God. Who knows?
You said Bournemouth, Fulham, and Leeds. Also 1 point. Oh, this is where it gets funny. Tim, you said Forest 20th, Saints 19th, and Brentford 18th. Wow.
That's a big call.
Okay, first sacking. So Jacob went Frank Lampard. Me and you, Kev, went Jesse Marsh. And Tim went Brendan Rodgers. It was Scott Parker.
Yeah, of course.
Scott Parker got sacked after the 9-0 loss to Liverpool at Anfield. But Jacob actually said that it would be either Scott Parker or Frank Lampard, but he went with Frank Lampard because of his affiliation with Bournemouth. So he went with Lampard. There's one here, Kev, that hasn't actually happened yet because we all voted for a Champions League winner. Tim said Bayern Munich, so he's not in with a shout. But you, me and Jacob all said Man City. So, could be points there. Well, that will be null and void for now. But, yeah. And last was promotion. Who's going to get promoted? This was interesting. So Jacob said Norwich, Burnley and Watford.
Just the one. Yeah.
Yeah. I said Norwich, Sheffield United. Sheffield United 2nd, I said. So, yeah. And Watford, just the 1 point there as well. And Kevin, do you remember what you said?
Probably Norwich as well.
You did not.
No.
No. You went for Watford, Burnley and West Brom.
Okay.
And Tim, he said Burnley were going to win the league. He said, I quote him on that because he said, I think they're going to come straight back up and win the league by a long way. He also said Luton were going to go up. 2nd, so he was very close, and then he said Watford, and he said it was either between Watford or Sheffield United, so blimey, Tim, that was some pretty good going.
Good, yeah.
Very, very good. Kev, what are the scores?
Tim's won it 7, I think. I'm 2nd with 5, and you and Jacob last with 4.
He's won everything this year, we're going to have to stop him.
Yeah.
Well done, Tim. Kev, that's a wrap. That's a wrap for the season, thank goodness, he says.
Well,
but fear not. We'll be back throughout the summer with all the latest news, transfers and, you know, kit launches and fixtures and so what. So look out for them. And also keep an eye on our socials because we'll be doing some giveaways. So keep your ears and eyes open for them. So, until next time, up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up my Southampton.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.